Welcome to the James River Church Podcast. You're about to hear another inspirational message from Pastor John Lindell. It's our prayer that this message is an encouragement and blessing to your life.
For the last couple of weeks, we've been in a series that we've entitled We Know, because frankly, we're living in uncertain times. There's uncertainty about the virus. There's uncertainty about how long we're going to have to shelter in place. There's uncertainty about the economy. There's uncertainty about jobs. There's uncertainty about the recovery. There's uncertainty about health. There's so many things we don't have the answers for. And all of that is a reminder of the frailty and the fragility of life. And yet, in the midst of life, we can know this. Our God is a rock. Our God is a fortress. Our God gives us some things that you and I can know. We've seen already in this series that we can know God answers prayer. We can know that when you and I pray, God is a God who answers prayer. We can know that God is working for our good. We saw that last week, that in all things, God is working for the good of those who love Him, who are called according to His purpose. We know that to be true. And tonight, we come to a very appropriate scripture as we're in the week leading up to Easter. We know this, that God loves us. 1 John chapter 3:16, not John 3:16, but 1 John 3:16, we know what real love is because Jesus gave up His life for us. Now, you might be thinking, how can I really know that God loves me? And the answer is twofold. First of all, He tells us that He loves us. And then second, He shows us that He loves us. Now, it's no small thing for one person to tell another person that they love them. I don't know whether you remember, if you are married or you had a serious relationship, if you remember that time when you first said, I love you, to another person. I can remember with Debbie, we were dating and I was very careful about saying those words because honestly, she dumped me a time or two and I wasn't sure how she would respond. So you do the gradual, you work up to it. You might start by putting out a few feelers. You'd say something like, I like you. And they would say, I like you too. And then you might say, I like you a lot. And then they might say, I like you a lot too. Now, if you don't get that far, then you probably not going to make it the rest of the way. But if you get that far, then you might say, I love spending time with you. And they might say, I love spending time with you. Now you're ready and you wait for the right moment. And then you blurt it out. You say, I love you. And you wait. Sometimes you wait a long time. But when the person you've said those three special words to, I love you, when they say, I love you back, I mean, it means so much. I mean, the words, I love you, you don't say them carelessly because you know this, you know that your love might be rejected. You also know that you're going to have to back up what you just said. Now, God knows that when He says, I love you, there are people who will reject Him and will say, well, I don't love you. He also knows what love costs, and that He's going to have to back up those words. And yet, having considered all of those things, God says, I love you. He not only says, I love you, but He writes it down. He puts it in black and white, as if to say, read it and reread it, because I love you. I mean, listen to the words, Jeremiah chapter 31 and verse 1. The Lord appeared to us in the past saying, I have loved you with an everlasting love. And just in case you'd miss that point, over and over again in the Bible, He gives us illustrations of His love. I love Psalm 103 and verse 11. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is His love for those who fear Him. You know, scientists tell us and astronomers tell us that the farthest star in our galaxy is 63 million light years away. That's how great God's love is. It reminds me when our kids were little, they used to say, Daddy, I love you this much. And I would say, wow, that's a lot. I love you that much too. God is saying, as far as the heavens are above the earth, so great is my love for you. I love you this much. But He not only says He loves us, He proved that he loves us. In John chapter 15, Jesus, before he goes to the cross, makes this tremendous statement in verse 13. Greater love has no one than this, than that he lay down his life for his friends. Jesus loved us so much, he laid down his life for us. In 1 John chapter 4 and verse 10, we read this. This is real love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. We know God loved us because he sent his son Jesus to die for our sin. Probably the most familiar verse in all of the Bible that talks about God loving us is John 3:16. I'm going to read it to you from the Message because sometimes we hear it from the version we're most familiar with and we miss some of the grandeur of it, some of the pointedness of it, some of the power of it. Here it is from the Message. This is how much God loved the world. He gave his son, his one and only son. And this is why, so that no one need be destroyed. By believing in him, anyone can have a whole and lasting life. Listen, God doesn't want anybody to be destroyed. God doesn't want anybody to go to hell. God knows that without accepting Jesus Christ as your Savior, it's impossible to go to heaven. Doesn't matter how good a person any of us are. Doesn't matter how moral we are. Doesn't matter how many times we go to church, how committed we are to those kind of things. What determines where we'll spend eternity, what determines whether or not we'll escape God's judgment is whether we put our faith in Jesus Christ, who came to earth to die for us. And God loves us so much. He sent his one and only son to die for us. He came to bear our sin. God placed our sin on him and then poured out the punishment our sin deserved. He poured that out on Jesus. And then Jesus died because the wages of sin is death. And when you and I put our faith in him, God forgives us of all of our sin, and we have eternal life. God loves you. He says it. He demonstrated it with Jesus. In fact, Romans chapter 5 and verse 8, I love this verse. But God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners, while we were enemies of God. He came and died for us. Settle it in your hearts. God loves you. But there's more to 1 John chapter 3 and verse 16 than what I just read. Look at it. We know what real love is because Jesus gave up his life for us. So we also ought to give up our lives for our brothers and sisters. He said, now, wait a minute. Does that mean that I need to step in front of them and take the bullet for them? Well, for most of us, that's a choice we're never going to have to make. But maybe a way to think about that is, would you be willing to? Are you willing to put others before yourself? That's what love is about. It's about meeting another's need, even very possibly at the expense of meeting your own need. And if you're willing to do that, then you'd be willing to do what he says in verse 17. Look at it. 1 John 3:16, we know what real love is because Jesus gave up his life for us, so we also ought to give up our lives for our brothers and sisters. Now verse 17, if someone has enough money to live well and sees a brother or sister in need but shows no compassion, how can God's love be in that person? If love would give its life, then love ought to be willing to meet a need. In verse 18, John writes this, dear children, let's not merely say we love each other. Let us show the truth by our actions. You know, honestly, the mark of love is not what we feel. You know, you say, oh, I feel so sorry for them. Oh, I feel so bad for them. That doesn't mean you love them. It's not feeling sorry for someone. It's doing something for someone. It's meeting their needs. You know, all around us are massive needs. We have a record number of people unemployed, more than any time since the Great Depression. And we can demonstrate that we know God loves us and that we've experienced the love of God personally by loving people around us, by meeting their needs. Maybe you don't have a lot. Maybe you're saying, well, you know, I've lost my job, I'm laid off, I can't do anything, or what can I do? The question is not what you can't do. Always for all of us, the question is, what can we do? Let me give you a way that we can love other people: by sheltering in place. You know what? Staying home is a way of loving other people. It could be by social distancing. I mean, you know, the longer this pandemic goes and the longer the shelter in place goes, to be honest with you, the harder it is. You miss people. You want to see people. You want to be around people. It can be very lonely, especially if you're single. You could be very, very lonely right now. And the Lord understands that, but we have to love people enough to keep them safe. But here's other things we can do. We can love people by calling them, checking on them, checking on coworkers, checking on friends, checking on family. You know, just asking how they're doing, praying with them. We can love people by helping them with essentials. You know, you say, well, I don't have much that I can give. Listen, if you know somebody's got needs, you're welcome to come by the church, get some groceries for them, and then you can take it to them. You can love people by helping people. We can love people by praying for people. You know, we all have, through this time with this pandemic, our time is spent differently. And I would suggest that most people have maybe more time in certain parts of their life than they used to have. And we can use that time to pray for people. We can use that time to care for people. We can use that time to contact people. We can demonstrate God's love to people by the way we treat people. And if you have resource, if you've not lost your job and you have resource, are you willing to share that with others? Are you willing to help others who are in need? All of those things are ways that we can demonstrate the fact that we've come in contact with God's great love for us. And we can illustrate to them how much God loves them as we love them and do things tangibly for them. Love is the accurate estimate and the adequate supply of another's need. God accurately estimated you and I were sinners, that we needed a Savior, and He adequately supplied the need by sending His Son, Jesus Christ. When you and I have been touched with that kind of love, then it frees us up to look around us and to accurately estimate other people's need. What is it that people need? What can we do to help them? And then do what we can. God's not asking us to do what we can't do. He's just simply saying, whatever you and I can do to meet people's needs, to love them, that when we do that, we're demonstrating God's love to them, and we're demonstrating that we have experienced God's love in our own life. Such a valuable word for us during this season. You know what real love is, and now we have an opportunity to extend real love to other people.